Hello and welcome back to another episode of Young Black and Opinionated. I'm your host, Christina Royster, and I'm joined today by Brittany T.
Yes, thank you, Christina. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yes, me and Brittany are going to be discussing being creative in corporate. What does that mean? How can you really express yourself in a structured organization? We're going to jump right into it. So, Brittany, before we dive into our topic, why don't you just tell the folks who you are, your brand, a little bit about your nonprofit, as well as Creatives on Campus.
For sure. So, I am Brittany T, and I am a dual founder. I'm the founder of a nonprofit organization called the Better Give Back Foundation Incorporated. We really thrive in providing innovative relief to the community, in a variety of ways, but always leading with creativity, always just innovating the ways in which we can serve one another as creatives who are primarily doing the leading in the service, but also generally, you know, we have programs that speak to the elderly community. We have programs that speak to the faith community. We have programs that speak to education. And so that's one aspect of it. You mentioned Creatives on Campus. Creatives on Campus is one of the primary and signature programs of the Better Give Back Foundation, where we build community with fellow creatives and also the collegiate community. I feel like I'm saying community a lot.
We love our community.
But with the creative and the collegiate community, and provide them with a variety of resources, you know, advocacy for reasons like what we'll talk about today and being incorporated. They need advocacy, as well as with space. So being able to provide them with physical space through our partnerships and through residencies that we've had in different locations where they can host, where they can gather, where they can, you know, we've had residential spaces where they've been able to stay for short-term periods of time, because creatives need space from their families sometimes, you know? So we just really try to lock in and offer an array of solutions in that regard. And then I'm also, I have a for-profit consulting business called Happily Better After, where I also started that as a community, you know, fresh out of a domestic violence relationship. And it was a pathway initially for me to experience healing by bringing people together who were also on this journey coined being happily better after. And from there, it just grew. And now it's something that, you know, I'm able to consult with different organizations and individuals on different projects organizationally and creatively to help bring solutions to them.
I love that. And you just touched on so many things. Number one, it sounds like you do have a lot of ideas, but you execute on them. And that's what I love about you. I think with the last time we met, you said if an idea comes to you, you trademark it. You just go ahead and get the LLC.
Or the domain.
Because like you said, it is about community. And the other words that are coming to me are inclusion. What they try to push in corporate, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
They love those buzzwords.
Yes. But here you are really like bringing it to life and getting your hands dirty and working in your community. And I just feel like as somebody who is also creative but works in corporate, it's like sometimes it feels like two personalities. So are you currently working a 9-to-5 or are you completely focused on your other projects?
So I'm not currently working a 9-to-5. And it's the grace of God that that is the case. But I'm not that far removed from a 9-to-5. So I definitely feel like I still resonate with some of those pain points.
So now we can kind of get both perspectives kind of as a creative entrepreneur and in corporate. So tell us about your corporate days. I know you worked in higher education and any other jobs that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the majority of my experience in higher ed. When I graduated college, I moved to Baltimore and I started working at an HBCU in Baltimore. And the irony of that is that upon moving to Baltimore, discovered this creative residence. And so it's called City Arts, and it's literally a building where artists live, right? And these are artists who are full-time artists, or these are artists who also work other jobs. But nonetheless, they're artists. And so I lived there for over a year, and it transformed me, because even though I was entering into this corporate environment, I was still being met with neighbors who every day were up, like, living their best life and jamming and painting and
that sounds like a
quilting
dream.
And doing all the different things that they did. And so that initial corporate introduction, no lie, it traumatized me, because it was nothing of what I thought, right? Like, you think education, you think, like, nurturing and all these things, but I worked in financial aid, which is already known on every college campus to be, like, a horrible office. Like, I don't ever hear good stories about financial aid offices. But I experienced an instance with having to be a whistleblower, where there was sexual violence happening among one of my colleagues to another student, and I felt horrible about having to be the one to blow the whistle in that environment, but I did, and doing so, there was like this retaliation of energy, just shifting, and everybody shutting down, and no one talking to me, and, you know, making me feel like I had made a bad decision when this person was investigated and fired. So that kind of like set the tone, and I think from there, every corporate experience after, it kind of put me in a place of being on defense and being guarded, and also like just, you know, feeling that resistance. And then when you add the layer of being a creative on that, I think there's, of course, you know, the horror stories of just feeling like, y'all don't even know what y'all are talking about. Like, just the being in staff meetings, and it's like, what are we talking about?
I was a social media producer, and they tried to tell me how to do social media, and I'm like, why did you hire me?
Why did you hire me if you already know everything?
Yeah.
And it, for me, it started to feel like this generational undermining. If we could, and not even playing a race card, but we could talk about being Black, being woman, being millennial, being creative, like all of these different points within our identity scope that people are judging.
I just stick out like a sore thumb. It just reminds me of when I was a graphic designer at this small family-owned advertising firm in New Jersey. There was only about 12 of us in the building, and then I was one of three women and the only Black person. So I would just, like, come to my cubicle, do my work, eat my lunch in the break room, go home, and I was just like, I can't wait to get out of here. And then on top of that, they really weren't feeling my design, so it made me start doubting myself. Why am I even here? Am I good enough? All these things. So, yeah, when you talk about young, Black, opinionated.
Young, Black, opinionated,
yes, like,
exactly.
I definitely feel that. And so, let's start with, how do you even define creativity, and how would you define corporate?
That's so good. So I love talking about this, because in addition to like being a creative, being an entrepreneur, having worked in corporate, I'm also someone who's matriculated throughout my education. So I started a doctoral program, and I started doing this very thing, which was giving definition to creativity in an organizational context. Like, what does it look like for me to be a creative in corporate, and how can I communicate that through this body of research so that other corporate people can learn who creatives are, what they need, what they value, why it's important for them to be even known. So, sorry, quick tangent.
No,
but
I love that.
Creativity, I define it as, I define it in different ways. One, I'm a woman of faith. And so when I think about like worship, I think about creativity. It's like this intersection. The Bible defines worship as spirit and truth. And I feel like creativity is in, it's the same thing. It's like there's this spiritual nature of it. There's this flow. There's this expression of just who I am and what I naturally just am here to do, whether it's for me, like as a singer, as a songwriter, as an organizer, as an advocate, like those things just flow out of me. And then, you know, I think there is like a truth component in the sense of like creativity is not free of structure. Like there still needs to be order in how it's executed.
I agree with that. Because as an artist, I, like a fine artist, I like to paint. Whenever I go to a museum with people, they're like, ugh, I could paint that. I'm like, don't say stuff like that. Yeah. Like, but even Jackson Pollock, like, all he did was splatter paint. Like, I've seen my paint splatters, and I've seen other paint splatters, and I'm not flicking it on the canvas. Like, there is an art to it, like there you said.
There's intention behind it. And I think that's the thing that makes it yours, is, like, for you to have a process that might be different from another, but nonetheless bringing that intention into it. And then corporate. You said, how do I define corporate?
Well, yeah, because I guess people do think of sort of like that cubicle atmosphere, but working in higher education, you probably were more hands-on with the students and on campus, but some people...
Yeah, I think corporate is more of like a mindset of how, like...
Not a place.
It's not a place. It's really a mindset for how people feel like business should be done. And, you know, not to get too deep with it, but, like, the truth is that our education system started by mimicking a industrial, like, process.
Preach.
Like, a production-based, like, culture of, like, how do we put systems into place? How do we put structures into place? And we've been flowing in that very, like, structured, like, almost like we're warehouse factory workers producing from day to day. And it's just like, I feel that rigidness in everything, in the ways in which I'm communicated with, the ways in which, you know, staff meetings are conducted, the ways in which you have an expectation of me to be in person on your job site to do things that I can do from home.
Oh my gosh,
you know, like, you just all of these expectations that really can't be justified for any other reason outside of the fact that this is what it looks like to do it, according to you.
And that's what I was going to say. I was just like, they keep talking about how we want to change the workforce and we want to drive inclusion and culture. And I'm like, this is not culture. Like, this is, I don't even know. Like you say, like, out of the box. Like, if you looked on Amazon, like, how to create culture, and this is what they ship to you. Like, that's how I feel sometimes, like, trying to fit myself into the box. And I just had a talk with my mom, like, I'm not supposed to fit into this box. I am a square peg trying to fit into a round hole, or whatever they say, like. So, going off of that, and especially around this time, end of Q1, they had us start setting our goals at work. And I was having a hard time with it, because I was like, what goals? Like, I don't know. On one hand, as you said, I have felt like a production machine, like, onto the next comms plan, onto the next comms plan. Okay, now we got this, now we got that. Next thing I know, 3 months have flown by. It's already end of Q1. What have we really accomplished? And so, like you said, I do feel like I'm checking off boxes at times. And so this goal setting thing, it was like check this box off. It's due by the end of the month. And I was just like, what are my goals? It's not that I don't have aspirations in my career, but I started to realize, like, I don't know if they're really tied to my day-to-day work.
Right.
So that's when I started to feel the pressure of, like, ugh, now I gotta come up with something to, like, just check off this box. And again, another talk with my mom, she was like, oh, you have goals. They're just, like, not related to that.
I mean, and that's real. And I feel like companies are offended if that's your truth.
I feel like, oh, now I'm not a loyal employee.
But... just be better, do better, look better, like, be more appealing to my actual life. I mean, what else do you want me to say?
And that's the thing. It's like, working in communications, this is a pivot for me. I went from graphic design to marketing, to social media, to now communications. So it is definitely stretching me and growing me. I'm learning different things about public relations, things like that that I've never done before. So it is a great role to be in. I am learning a lot. But then you talk about, like, in 2023, we're going to be more creative. What does that really mean?
What does it really mean?
When I'm like, hey, y'all, let's use GIFs. And everybody's like, oh, my God, GIFs. Like, clutching their pearls.
Right.
Because, like you said, it is that generational thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a millennial, and I don't know how much is too creative in corporate.
Yeah, and I think with that whole point of, like, intersecting our gifts and, like, allowing people to shine in the ways that they naturally do, I think it's hard for people to embrace that because they don't know where they shine. Like, I think we haven't when we talk about creativity in the workplace or anywhere, it's like everybody gets to just self-define it. And that's fine, except for the fact that it's not when it comes time to execute on it, because we don't have a working model to like help you see, like, no, I know you think you do everything great, but quite honestly, this is actually where you shine. And if we could get you to like really lean into that and bring that to the team, we would be so much better than you trying to micromanage everybody yeah. else's stuff, or you trying to like show up and do all the things. Like, I think we have to give that creative like piece. And that's really what I love to do in my for-profit, my consulting business, is have these conversations about creativity in the workplace and have like give it a framework, give it a working model that people can walk away feeling empowered to like, okay, this is how I can lean into this more. Yeah.
And then we talk about resources and how money is allocated. And I've noticed, you know, certain groups get more money than others. And how do you feel about the allocation of resources in creative arts and things like that?
Ooh, in the workplace or? Yeah.
Well, in general, I guess.
In general.
I say this because working in communications in my company, it's different than working in marketing. Marketing kind of gets all the money.
Okay.
So just noticing different groups, like, or even in my previous role, social was like an afterthought when it should have been the first thought. I was begging, can we please get a full social media staff? Yeah. But in certain organizations, they're either still figuring out social media or don't take it seriously.
I think the arts, creativity, creative modes of expression, they're always undermined in our culture in terms of how much resource should be allocated to them. I don't think people take time to realize that every organization that they go into, whether you're going into Starbucks to have a cup of coffee or whether you're going to an opera show or like, it doesn't really matter. Your favorite whatever, your favorite artist, your favorite brand, there is a creative team behind all of that. There is somebody's music is playing out of the stereos at your favorite restaurant, which sets the mood for the dining. Like, everything that you do in your house, there's artwork that's on the walls that you get to build an aesthetic off of that some artists produce. And so I think that shows up in corporate too, where there's just this undermining of the value of investing in the things that actually drive the culture of the organization, which is always creatively steered. So I could go on about that. But
well, that just makes me think, like you said earlier, if I could just do graphic design all day and lean into that and not have to write this press release or whatever that I'm really not interested in, then that brings me more joy, probably brings more productivity, honestly. Yeah. And I just feel like we're wasting a lot of time with our meetings and everything like that. How can I really even sit down and be creative? You're like,
It's true. And I mean, I do, I will say, like, it's good, like you said, it's good to learn new skills and it's good to lean in. But I just feel like if we spent more of our time really just leaning into the things that we're already really great at, and other people were confident to like go on the journey to explore and discover and to cultivate those same things for themselves, and we just came together with our pieces, like, that to me is the greatest vision of unity, of effectiveness, of corporate effectiveness. Like,
are there any companies you think do get it right? Have you heard, like, are great places to work?
Of course, I've heard of, like, the Googles and, you know,
but then we see they laying people off, like, left and right, like, they don't care about us anyway, so.
Yeah, see, I really don't know. I don't feel like I've had a corporate experience where I felt that concept was there. And so I think that's a part of why I have, you know, a nonprofit. That's a part of like why I do the consulting I do, is because I want to help people, like, again, reestablish a new model, a new system, a new frame of thought for how we are approaching our teams and our workspaces.
So to play devil's advocate there, do you think that sometimes I always ask this question on the podcast, like, should we have a seat at the table or build our own table? And, like, do you think it's a lost cause sometimes? Like, are you hopeful or hopeless about changing corporate? Because I'm working at a company. Some companies out here are 50 years old, 100 years old. Like, can we really change these systems?
I think we can do both. I think we should lead with wherever we are in our journey. So, like, right now I'm in the phase of my journey where I am building my own table by having my own businesses and, like, investing all of my energy into that. And one of those businesses happens to be influencing what happens in corporate spaces. So in that way, I'm kind of, like, coming in at both angles where, like, I'm building my table to say this is what organizations need. And if you, in any way, if this resonates with you, if you're an organization that's pioneering, that's innovative, and that really seeks to see change, then you'll enlist my services and I'll come and I'll share what I have to say. And if you're not, and this isn't for you, then that's fine. But I think both are necessary, and it just might depend on where you are in your journey. But I'm all about building our own table. Yeah. I'm like 100% about that. But I do think that the reality is, If we do build our own tables, that all the more positions us to, like, to be seen and for people to take interest and for them to invite us into their spaces, which is now where we get to send them an invoice, right? And and help them do that same thing once they see it working and once they see it in action. So,
speaking of, you know, getting paid for our creativity, how do you feel about the way social media and, like, ownership and things like that, how that's happening? I know that black TikTokers don't get paid the same as white TikTokers, things like that. So how do you feel about it? On one hand, it's great to have this whole fountain of creativity. Like, I could go on TikTok and see somebody juggling while painting, like, all these crazy things. But now companies can bite off of them. Now companies can underpay them, things like that. So how do you feel about gatekeeping our creativity?
I feel like social media is the new slave trade, honestly. And I feel like we're buying into it. Like, we're like the black people that are selling other black people in. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I say that, and I hate to sound so deep with it, but I say that because I think there's a fine line that we just have to be mindful of. It's like, yes, get to the bag. If TikTok, if YouTube, if they're offering these monetizable ways for us to, you know, be paid, fine. But I also feel like don't start to, like, let that become the way in which you measure or, you know, you value what you have to contribute, because whatever they're offering you, and I think Master P said this, like, you know, he went into the room and they offered him X amount of dollars. And he was like, dang, if they're offering me that, how much am I really worth? You know, so I think it's just like, be great, leverage these tools. But, like, I sometimes I feel like we get too immersed and it's like, okay, come up for air.
That's why I've been off social media right now. At the time of this recording, I haven't been on social media in, like, 3 weeks. I did it for, like, the Lent devotional season. So I got until Easter to go. And it's honestly been rewarding. But on the other hand, I've expressed how I feel like I let my fans down. I'm not posting on the YBO Instagram. Like, they haven't seen me in a few weeks. And
that'll be okay.
But yeah, I thought about it, and I was like, if you're really subscribed to this podcast, you'll get a notification.
You will.
You'll know when I have put out 2 episodes since being off social media. So if you don't subscribe, then you're not gonna know. But for me, it's been great for my mental health. Like you said, being off social media, just not worried about, did I post today? How many followers did we get? Like, it's especially so when you're trying to grow a business, it's like.
And that's one avenue. And I think too, like, I love for our generation, I love that we have this access. Like, it's its own avenue of access, but it's not the only avenue. And if it's the avenue you choose, like, there's no shame in that. Like, I'm not making anybody feel bad about that, but I just feel like we have to be wise, because I do see some of these platforms just really preying on creatives, like, because they know that they bring so much value. It's what keeps the
without black TikTokers dancing and making these dances and other people stealing them.
Yeah.
Without black music. Every sound on TikTok is a hip-hop little remix.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we got it. Yeah, just...
I definitely feel that. That's. I'm glad that we're kind of on the same page because I feel like I'm an old soul at times. I'm like, yeah. Ugh. I've been on social media since it came out. 2012, yeah. I started on Instagram.
Right.
And that's years of mind-numbing content. And I'm just like, I can't actually live life without this. I went out to, like, a flower show and took pictures. And I was like, this would be a cute story. And I'm like, I'm not on Instagram. I'm not posting it. Just have to enjoy it, I guess.
So, and that's the thing. Like, what if it was just for you sometimes? Like, what if every moment wasn't about...
I want everybody to see it.
Yeah, yeah. And it really shapes our, like, in building a business, like, through the Creators on Campus program, I hire students currently at Rowan to work with the organization and help, you know, us move forward. And one of the biggest challenges is the mindset. And it's because this generation has grown up in social media. And so it's like a normalcy for them to be so immersed that they're not present, that they're distracted, that they're not focused, that they can't produce, like, work.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Back at that old job, they told me in my review that I was on my phone too much. Really? And that was 2018.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. But or even, like, okay, you're brought on to a job to do social media for an organization, but... You know, I look at your social media and it's like top tier. It's thoughtful. It's intentional. The aesthetic is very deliberate. But you're just putting up anything on my social media as a part of your job because you don't really have the you don't have the concept of like bringing that like excellence to someone else. It's like, oh, well, it's not mine and I'm just here for a paycheck. And it's just like, you're not who I want to work with. And I think that's, like, also a big thing. Social media makes us very self-consumed.
Yeah.
That we don't always know how to show up for other people.
I haven't heard that take. Yeah. It really is all me, me, me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, I'll share anything. I'll like anything. Mm-hmm. Even people who DM me like, hey, Christina, I was in this hair competition. Can you vote for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, I'm that kind of person. I don't mind. But then I have noticed... Picture of me going out looking cute, dressed up, 200 likes. Picture of my new podcast episode, 30 likes. Okay, I see where y'all head is at. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have learned I could just live without it. I really don't need it. But like you said, there's other avenues. If you have a business, you can do some digital marketing. You could do a newsletter.
Yeah.
Because social media, it's already imploding. We've already started to see it shift. And it's only a decade. It's still a baby. So... Remember, I don't remember the .com bust, but I heard about it. So that lets me know it could happen again. And where are all these people going to be without social media? And so creativity for me, I love to be at home and just doodle sometimes and just color sometimes. And no, I'm not about to put it on Etsy and sell it. Like, I just want to color for my mental health.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's so real. Like, do we know that it's okay for everything to not be monetized? Like, and I had to learn, I had to learn that because, you know, as a creative, like, you know, there, we're not a one trick pony. Mm-hmm. So you'll be just discovering all these new things like, oh, I can do this. And it's like out of building a business, you're like all things. You're the PR, you're the marketing, you're the social media. So it's like you learn how to do all these things and now you think you can do all these things for everybody else. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I offer these services and I offer these services and these services. And it's just like,
I'm sorry, but when my mom got a Cricut machine and she thought that she could start a t-shirt business, I was just like, that's great, mom. But like, that's a lot of work. And you see, she ain't doing it now. So stuff like that. Yeah. Like, why can't we just enjoy our creativity?
Just enjoy it,
like,
sometimes.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a business. And that also leads me to my last point. I just wrote down, you are not your resume. And I feel like that really resonates with both of us because I personally have made my way all, like I just told y'all, from graphic design to marketing to social media with a BA. I never got my master's and I don't want to go back to school, Brittany. I really don't. So, but then coming into this corporate space, I'm like, oh, so-and-so in their second master's, like, oh, maybe I should go back to school. Why am I thinking about going back to school? I don't even like school.
Yeah.
So I just have to remind people out there that you are not your resume. Like, even I used to be jealous of the girls who were like, oh my gosh, I got this BET internship, or I'm an NBC Page scholar. You know how many times I applied to that thing and I never got it? Mm. But I made it here with my local internship. Like you said, I was working at the NJEDA in New Jersey. That was probably the best internship I ever had. They paid me well. They took care of me. And I learned a lot about communication. So now I'm back to communications. And I didn't even realize... You know, I used to think, oh, I have this boring job in Trenton. And, you know, they actually told me, you're one of the only interns who was here every single day. All the other interns took summer vacation. And they didn't realize this is a summer internship. You should be here every day, not off on vacation for half the month. Yeah. So, like you just said, even though I thought I was in small spaces or nobody noticed, all those little things build my resume. And even though I am not my resume, I'm proud of what I have accomplished. So.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that I am not my resume mantra. And I'll say one of the services that I offer in my Happily Better After consulting business is helping creatives and leaders build what I call their permission to roar pack. And to the point of not being your resume, a lot of times when people ask us who we are, we lead with what we do.
Yeah.
And I hated that for myself. So I created this permission to roar pack, which consists of my own mission mantra, my own vision statement, my own core value statements. And that's now how I lead when I introduce myself most times. Because sometimes it's not always, like, it's real OD. Like I'll tell you my mission mantra, my mission is to embrace the joy and the pleasure of my kingdom assignment. As one called to be an intercessor, one called to bring forth creativity reconciliation within diverse organizational spaces.
Yes. And then that's for yourself. Like that's you just for tell myself. That to yourself.
And then when I introduce myself to people, sometimes if I'm feeling very feisty, I'll say, you know, I am a walking well, flowing out of secret, embracing a lifestyle called Happily Better After, while reaching back to cultivate pioneering creatives on campus.
Yes.
And like, they're like, what?
I love that.
But it gives an opportunity for me to like lean into the different brands that I have and the things that matter to me and like how I believe God sees me based on the purpose he's given me and not just based on what I do from a production standpoint. Day to day.
I think that just to wrap it up, like I really have been thinking sort of the work I produce and the job title on LinkedIn. And I have definitely been thinking more about that. And now I've just come to this space, like spring season, it always gets people start to thinking about new beginnings and growth. And I'm just like,
a spring cleaner.
Right. I can be both. I can do this. I can collect my paycheck. I can even sprinkle in a little creativity. I've mentioned how I've started raising my hand at work and my mom was like, why? Like they don't pay you extra for that. And I'm just like, it's in my nature to let me help y'all out where I can, or let me step up, or y'all need me to mentor. Okay. I got a whole mentor mentee. And sometimes I don't know if I'm telling this girl the right thing, but she's like, no, our talks really helped me. And I'm like, okay, so that lets me know even when I don't even know what I'm doing, God is still speaking through me somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm in this space and I'm doing all these things, but then you got the podcast, YBO. And like you said, it has been on the back burner at times where I'm like, so much anxiety over my job. Oh my gosh, 9 to 5. I can't even think about anything else.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, no, I have to feed back into the podcast, lean back into the podcast, and doing it my way. The platform has changed. The episodes have changed.
I love that.
But I'm still staying consistent, and people have noticed. So I'm just proud of that, and I'm just trying to make sure that I'm doing what creatively motivates me on top of my 9 to 5. So
I think you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
I love the YBO concept. Like, just the concept alone, I think, is really dope. And you have a great speaking presence.
Oh, thank you. All right, so this has been YBO. I think this is episode 176. Brittany, where can the people follow you on social?
Follow me on Instagram at I am Brittany T, BrittanieTea. And you can also follow me if you are Facebooker. I know that's like
I still have Facebook.
Old school term. But I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, Brittany Thomas. I'm not active on TikTok yet. I'm praying about it. I'm like, But yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right. And make sure you guys subscribe wherever you're listening today. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. Be back soon with a new episode. Bye.